Good afternoon. My name is Krisha, and I'll be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the REL Half-Year Results Conference Call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question-and-answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Thank you, Mr. Ken Ryan. You may begin your conference.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our half-year results call for the period ending June 30th, 2017. Some of you know my name is Ken Ryan. I'm a partner at Riverstone, and today I'll walk you through some of the key financial and operational highlights of REL's first half results for 2017. And then, as the operator said, I'll open the line to questions at the end. First, let me start by touching on the broader market environment that we've seen over the last quarter in particular. Since we last spoke at the beginning of March, when the price of WTI was well over $50 a barrel, we've seen significant volatility in the commodity price market. We've seen prices fall back to the low 40s on WTI through the second quarter as North American producers resumed drilling and Nigeria and Libya boosted output, both of whom are OPEC members but were exempted from the agreement last year to curb output. This weakness also impacted the equity market, with the S&P Oil and Gas E&P Index and the FTSE 350 Oil and Gas Producers Index declining by 23% and 12% respectively. Throughout the current cycle, the market has continued to be surprised by the resilience of the North American shale producers. The revolution of hydraulic fracturing continues to evolve as engineers experiment with longer laterals, higher frac stages, tighter cluster spacing, and more intense fracs. This has resulted in continued improvements in well productivity and lower per barrel well costs, and is further supported by cyclical declines in supply chain service costs. While we do not expect the volatility in the oil price to abate anytime soon, we believe these features, along with the short cycle nature of shale investments, continue to make North America the most attractive region for energy investment on a risk-adjusted basis. And actually, we will touch on how some of the things we just spoke about have impacted Centennial's results, in particular to the positive. Those results came out yesterday. REL's net asset value has remained very resilient against this backdrop. REL ended 30 June 2017 with an NAV of $19.74 per share, equating to a decrease of 36 cents or 1.8% when compared to NAV per share at 31 December 2016. On a pound sterling basis, NAV fell 6.9% due to the strengthening of the pound over that period. Of REL's 14 investments in total, 10 are marked above cost, 2 are marked at cost, and 2 are marked below cost. The marks for 7 companies change over the period, with the most significant being REL's second largest investment, Centennial, which is publicly traded and saw its share price decline from 1972 at the end of December to 1582 at the end of the period, as market sentiment for oil producers weakened. Fieldwood and Carrier 2 also suffered valuation declines as the lower oil price weighed on trading comparables and asset valuations. And Fieldwood in particular was impacted by a number of short-term production disruptions. However, these declines were largely offset by strong performance at other portfolio companies, most notably, Three Rivers 3, which grew from a gross MOIC of 2.5 times to 3 times. As acreage prices continued to appreciate in the Delaware Basin, and the company continued to de-risk its asset base through delineation drilling. Liberty 2 and Meritage 3 also experienced significant increases due to the emerging Powder River Basin position and ongoing operational successes, respectively. Eagle 2's increase was smaller, reflecting an uptick in value for its 16,000 net acres in the SCOOP play. We now have approximately $1.3 billion net invested across 14 portfolio companies, equating to 91% of our net available capital. We are currently just under 120% committed and therefore have not made any new commitments during the period, though we did invest $142 million into existing portfolio companies. The largest share of this was to fund the exercise of warrants in CIOC, as well as drilling expenses for ILX 3, Liberty 2, and Three Rivers 3. We closed the quarter with just under $125 million of cash. As you'll be aware, we maintain an overcommitment strategy to optimize our capital deployment. We're comfortable with having a certain level of overcommitment because we have control over the quantum and pace of capital deployment in our portfolio companies, and because our businesses are often fully or partially monetized prior to drawing on the full committed amount. In addition, we review commitment levels on an ongoing basis and will reduce them where appropriate. Examples of this flexibility can be seen in today's results, in which we withdrew $116 million of commitments to Aurigo and Canera 3. In both instances, we backed very strong management teams. However, the opportunities to deploy capital at attractive rates of return did not materialize as we had envisaged at the time of making the commitment. In the case of Aurigo, this was the lack of new exploration drilling in the North Sea and a weak market for undeveloped discoveries. And for Canera, a lack of conventional oil and gas opportunities in Western Canada at attractive prices. Because of our build-up approach of deploying capital in a disciplined phased way, the total capital exposure for these investments was limited to $11 million. Another result of this build-up approach is that the majority of the capital we raised at the IPO was deployed following the oil price decline in 2014, resulting in a portfolio which is invested in some of the most competitive basins for energy production globally. This includes the Permian and Eagleford, located in Texas and New Mexico, where we have three E&P companies and deployed 33% of our capital. Western Canada, where we have two E&P companies and one midstream company and have 29% of our capital invested. The Gulf of Mexico, where we have four E&P companies and have deployed 17% of our capital. And finally, around one-fifth of our capital is deployed in other niche opportunities, such as credit, international E&P, and other U.S. onshore plays through four companies. Rather than walk you through each of our 14 investments in detail, I will update you on the key needle movers from a value perspective and touch on some of the operational progress elsewhere in the portfolio. The portfolio has grown more concentrated over time as several of our investments have experienced significant valuation increases, and we have followed our money into these companies, given the opportunity to deploy capital at highly attractive rates of return. As a result, four investments now comprise 70% of the company's gross unrealized value. As you know, CIOC is our largest investment, representing 27% of the gross unrealized value and 31% of the NAV at the end of the period. CIOC has aggregated one of the largest and most advantaged land positions in the fast-emerging Montney and Duvernay formations in Western Canada. The company owns and operates almost 100% of this asset base, and since our initial investment, it has reduced drilling and completion costs by more than 50%, while a rapidly growing production capacity from around 3,000 BOE per day at the time of our initial investment to over 20,000 BOE per day today. Over the last year, the company has successfully completed 9 asset acquisitions and/or exchanges, adding 50,000 net acres to the company's existing large and contiguous asset base. The associated reserve acquisitions have helped drive a threefold year-over-year increase in CIOC's pro forma 2P reserves to 268 million BOE. The company's land base now totals over 200,000 net acres of contiguous Montney rights, with an additional 200,000 net acres in the Duvernay, and an inventory of almost 3,000 well locations. During the first half of this year, Oriel and Riverstone control funds exercised warrants totaling $180 million Canadian dollars, which will be used to fund drilling for continued development and delineation of this asset base. In addition, after the results period, CIOC announced that it would refinance its existing $85 million 11% second lien term loan with the issuance of a $208 million 9% senior notes due 2022 and $150 million equity commitment from Riverstone's private funds. These measures are designed to provide additional capital flexibility as CIOC ramps up production while maintaining a conservative debt structure. As of June 30th, we valued CIOC at 1.8 times cost. While the headline multiple on Oriel's investment in CIOC decreased over the period, The overall value of the company remains unchanged due to the $64 million warrant exercise investment being valued at cost. CISC's publicly traded peer, Seven Generations, has traded down materially this year, largely due to some company-specific issues, including facility disruptions that have constrained production on top of the broader sell-off in energy shares. However, this has had a limited impact on CISC, given the company's continued growth and reliance on a broad range of valuation metrics, including acreage multiples, reserves, production and EBITDA multiples, as well as NAV, and a wide concept. The broad range of valuation metrics is appropriate for CISC, in our opinion, given the company is still in its early stages of developing its asset base and is primarily focused on delineating the acreage position rather than growing cash flows. We do expect this to change as the company ramps up production, at which point production and EBITDA metrics will start to have a larger weighting in the valuation. Our next largest investment is Centennial, which represents 20% of gross unrealized value and 23% of net asset value. You may recall that this company was originally set up last year as a special purpose acquisition company to back former CEO of EOG Resources, Mark Papa, to create a high-quality development company. Since then, Mark has acquired three assets consisting of Centennial Resource Development with 42,000 net acres in the oil-rich core of the Delaware Basin, Silverback Exploration with 35,000 net acres, largely offsetting the Centennial position, and most recently, GMT Exploration, consisting of 11,500 net acres in the northern Delaware Basin, an area that Mark and his team are familiar with from their days at EOG. Centennial held its second quarter investor update yesterday, with the results demonstrating the tremendous progress that Mark and his team have made since the initial acquisition of Centennial last year. Daily production averaged just under 30,000 BOE per day in the second quarter, which is up 61% since Q1 and is four times the level at the time of the original investment. The company continues to see increased efficiencies by reducing drilling days and shortening completion times, which has allowed them to increase 2017 production guidance by 15% without increasing CapEx. This rapid production growth is helping the company towards its goal of achieving the lowest unit cost amongst its peers. Lease operating expenses and cash G&A per barrel were down 30 and 46% over the quarter, respectively. We are also starting to see positive results from the team's focus on becoming a technical leader in drilling and well completion. Centennial reported its best wells to date, including the Ninja well, which was drilled with an 8,775-foot effective lateral and achieved an initial 30-day production rate of 3,140 BOE per day, as well as several others with IP30s in excess of 1,500 BOE per day. Not only are these amongst the best wells completed on the acreage from the original Centennial acquisition, but also in Reeves County, Texas. The company plans to continue running a six-rig drilling program for the remainder of 2017, but will move one rig to Lea County, New Mexico, during the third quarter to begin development activity on its recent acquired GMT acreage. Centennial's large acreage position across multiple zones and the drilling inventory of over 2,000 locations, which are attractive at current pricing, provides a significant runway for future growth. Mark's plan is to grow production to 60,000 barrels of oil per day in 2020, prove out prospective drilling zones, and drive down unit costs, all the while maintaining a conservative capital structure. This is an ambitious plan, but we have a high level of confidence that Mark and the world-class technical team he's assembled at Centennial will execute on this strategy. Energy producers broadly faced a challenging first half of the year, and Centennial shares were no different, with the share price declining by 20% over the period, which was slightly better than the S&P Oil and Gas E&P Index. However, shares have increased on the back of the company's strong results, closing yesterday at $16.59 per share, a 5% uplift to the June 30 close of $15.82 per share. Centennial's market cap currently stands at $4.6 billion. Staying within the Delaware Basin, we have Three Rivers 3, which now accounts for 14% of REL's gross unrealized value and 16% of its net asset value. We formed this company in April 2015, backing CEO Mike Wisterich for the fourth time to focus on oil and gas acquisition opportunities in the Permian Basin. Shortly after formation, the company narrowed in on Culberson and Reeves counties in the Delaware Basin of the Permian, where they rapidly aggregated a 55,000 net acre position for less than 5,000 an acre. In the first half of this year, they have added an additional 5,000 net acres through various acquisitions and swaps, and have drilled 5 wells targeting the Wolfcamp A and B formations. Our valuation increased over the period from 2.5 times to 3 times multiple of invested capital, reflecting the uptick in M&A activity and valuations for the Delaware Basin assets. Our current mark implies an acreage value of under $15,000 an acre, which is still below where the majority of acreage packages have traded over the past 6 months. Finally, we have Liberty II as our fourth largest investment, comprising 9% of gross unrealized value and 10% of NAV. This is one of the earlier investments in the portfolio and is focused on the Bakken and Powder River Basin plays across North Dakota and Wyoming. In the first half of 2017, Liberty II acquired an additional 34,000 net acres in Bakken, bringing its total position to 96,000 net acres and over 240 gross drilling locations. This was a company that was marked below cost last year, but is now carried at 1.3 times cost as the company has grown production to approximately 8,000 BOE per day and is seeing upside from its early entry into the Powder River Basin. In addition to these companies, it's worth mentioning a few material updates from an operational perspective since January. Meritage 3 is our midstream company, which is helping CIOC expand its production in Western Canada through a range of midstream services. Meritage built its first gas gathering and processing facility last year, and over the past 6 months has signed additional offtake agreements with CIOC and third parties, providing the required volumes to support construction of a second facility later this year. The mark for Meritage increased over the period from 1.1 to 1.4x, reflecting the company securing contracts for additional volumes. We've also had a number of operational successes in the Gulf of Mexico. ILX3 is one of our investments focused on deepwater prospects, which do not rely on high technology exploration or the build-out of costly infrastructure to support production. In the first half of 2017, the company drilled 3 wells, of which 2 were discoveries, resulting in an overall 73% success rate on its 11 wells drilled since inception. And shortly after June 30th, we announced a historic oil discovery in the shallow waters of the Gulf of Mexico through Sierra, which Riverstone and its partners established as Mexico's first independent oil and gas company. Preliminary analysis of the discovery indicates oil in place estimates of 1.4 to 2 billion barrels. The Zama 1 well is the first exploration well drilled by the private sector in Mexico since the start of the company's energy reform. The country's energy reform. And the discovery is one of the largest made in recent years in the Gulf of Mexico. The well is located in Block 7, in which Sierra holds a 40% working interest, along with operator Talos Energy, a 35% working interest holder and also a Riverstone portfolio company, and Premier Oil, which owns a 25% working interest. While this is clearly an exciting development for Sierra, the consortium will need to undertake analysis of the data gathered from Zama 1 and evaluate the best way to appraise and develop the well. We have only invested $1 million to date in Sierra, but expect this to increase as we move towards development and drill additional prospects. Oriel has a strong presence in the Gulf of Mexico with both exploration focus and producing companies. However, unlike Oriel's exploration companies, which carry minimal debt and are typically valued based on reserves, our production-focused companies in the Gulf have been impacted by movements in commodity prices and publicly traded peers. The two companies in the portfolio which are valued below cost are Fieldwood and Castex 05, which together account for 2% of the portfolio's gross unrealized value. Fieldwood, you will know, is one of the largest producers in the shallow water of the Gulf of Mexico, with an interest in approximately 500 leases, covering over 2 million gross acres and over 1,000 wells. While the company continued to make strong operational progress with 42 well recompletions, 32 workover projects, and spotting 2 appraisal wells for its Mexico offshore appraisal program during the period, it experienced some temporary infrastructure availability issues and inclement weather, leading to lower production levels. This, along with the downward movement in commodity prices and public company valuations, led us to reduce our mark to 0.6x. Castex-05's valuation remains constant at 0.1 times cost, reflecting its gas focus and the impact of depressed natural gas prices, which have reduced EBITDA and resulted in borrowing base pressures. Despite the underperformance with these two investments, we believe the portfolio overall will be able to deliver value in a variety of commodity price environments, thanks to its focus on North America's most attractive low-cost basins. In addition, you will note that several of the investments have now reached the stage whereby they could become attractive candidates for acquisition or a public market exit. We will continue with our disciplined approach to maximizing value within the portfolio while capitalizing on opportunities for monetization as they arise. With that, I'd like to thank you for your time this morning and open the floor to any questions you may have.
At this time, I would like to remind everyone, in order to ask a question, press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Again, star one on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. There are no further questions at this time. Please continue.
If there are no questions, thanks everybody for your time this morning, and we look forward to seeing you in the near future.
Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.